Hello. This is Collective Noun. For a high quality program, press 1. You have pressed 2.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Welcome along to the show tonight.
You hear about this occasionally, Dom. Millionaires at a young age. I think it makes us all look bad.
Oh, totally. It makes you feel pretty angry as well when you see somebody, what, in their mid-20s, having millions of dollars, and you check your own bank account and you see the deficit.
In this instance, it's not even mid-20s, Dom.
Yeah.
The teenager who voices Peppa Pig.
Yep.
I won't reveal right now, but you will not believe how much cash... How much bacon she's taken home.
Okay. Is that an offensive...
That could be offensive in the Peppa Pig context.
I'm not entirely sure. I mean, I don't know why butchers aren't cashing in on the Peppa Pig phenomenon.
Right. Do you think... I mean? Well, it's hard enough to get kids to eat as it is. I don't think telling them they're eating Peppa Pig is going to help.
Okay, that's probably true. Well, so she... I mean, all she does is the voice of a cartoon character. And you're telling me she's earning a lot of money from it.
Yeah, we'll get to it up next.
Yeah.
But... It's going to make your eyes water.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
When the snacks attack, Dom, a Gold Coast schoolboy has found a fly inside his Le Snack Pack cheese and biscuit lunchtime treat.
It's a real shame because when you sit down for a Le Snack, I haven't had one in about a decade, I reckon.
Probably you know, you'd get your biscuit, you'd dip it in the cheese.
That's it. And then suddenly, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's a fly in the little snack.
I could see you reaching over there, pausing a little bit, trying to buy some time. I was wondering what you're getting.
It took me 20 seconds to get that sound effect. Just working hard over this side.
Okay, so this guy has found a fly in his little snack. They've complained to Nestle. They're trying to sort it out. Nestle said, obviously, there's been a mistake. We take these things very seriously. I don't know, you know, are we sure it was a mistake? Are you sure that this isn't a new flavour? They've had French onion for ages. Well, How about housefly?
No, there's a very big existential question here.
Yep.
Which is, would you eat the little snack still?
Yeah.
And my answer is a wholehearted yes.
Yeah, well, I'm a vegetarian. And I think that exceeds to flies.
Yeah, right.
However, in a couple of years, I've been hearing a lot about eating insects.
That's true.
In a couple of years, this could be commonplace.
I'm just saying, we hear stories of stuff being in food all the time.
Yeah.
I think a fly in your little snack, not the end of the world.
My parents always used to say extra protein.
Exactly.
We had to eat the moss that landed in our food.
Yes. I think that's fine. And look, 131060, what have you had in your food? Because I know that this does come up a lot. And I know I've had this before myself, Zach.
You had a pretty bad one, didn't you?
I had one that, this is what I'm thinking. If the fly in the little snack makes the news, I should have gone straight to News Limited on my one. Because I got like a frappe from a cafe and got to the bottom of it. And it had a metal hook that had fallen out of the frappe maker into the cup.
Yeah.
And it was because I'd taken like, you know, when you get to the end of like a frappe, you take the lid off to like pour the rest into your mouth.
Yeah. Well, I don't, but is that what you do?
That's what I do.
Yeah.
And as it all went into my mouth, I was like, oh, that's a weird...
So what? It actually went into your mouth?
The metal hook
went
into my mouth.
You didn't find it down the bottom. It was in your mouth.
In my mouth, nearly swallowed the metal hook.
And did it taste like metallic?
I didn't really have a taste. I was just like, oh, that's a weird texture. I thought it was a piece of ice initially, so I like tried to crunch it.
Oh, jeez.
Then pulled it out. I'm like, that is a metal hook. Kind of like, almost like a fishing hook sort of look. Just went in my mouth. And you know what? Ultimately, they ended up giving me a $100 voucher to the cafe.
Did they?
As a result, yeah. So I got a $100 voucher out of it.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad. And that was why...
How many frappes could you get with that?
Oh, yeah. I kept ordering the frappes. I think I had another 15 or 20 of them. But that was the thing with that. Is like, you know, I was happy not to go to the media. They give me a $100 voucher.
Yeah.
I'm happy to maintain my silence.
You probably could have gone, except for saying
now.
It on the radio.
Until now.
You're not going to reveal who it was.
No, I will not.
It wasn't a major chain, obviously.
No. And a good place that I still go to. So, I mean, it's good
enough
for me.
Just a local mom and pop store.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I could really ruin them. 131060.
We're not trying to do that. We'll keep the names of the places off.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Don't tell us where something was put in your food. 131060. What did you find in your food? We have Dean on 131060. What was it, Dean?
I found a cockroach in my spaghetti.
Okay.
Well, that's not good.
Was this homemade or was this at a restaurant?
This was at a restaurant and he was kind of like moving around. So I kind of discovered him and he crawled out. We both looked at each other and then he walked off.
And did you push on with the meal, Dean, or did you ask for a refund at that stage?
I went for the refund, and they said, sorry, we can't give you a refund. I'm like, there's a cockroach in my food. I spoke to the manager, and he's like, oh, okay, we can do that for you.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's good to know that they came around at the end.
The fact that the manager came around so quick might indicate that that's a problem they've had before. They've got a button on the machine. It's the cockroach discount.
Holly is in Brisbane. What was in the food, Holly?
So this didn't happen to me, but a friend of mine, and he bought a mince pie and found a bullet.
Oh.
A bullet?
A bullet. In.
Like like a licorice bullet or like a metal bullet?
Like a metal bullet. It actually chipped his tooth.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Scary.
That is scary. Did you get some sort of voucher, as a, I guess, to make up for that? Or what was the... Did he just move on?
He just moved on. Yeah, he's pretty laid back. Yeah. But, yeah.
Are we sure that they weren't running some sort of find a bullet in the pie competition? Because he might have won a trip to the factory, Willy Wonka style.
We got Vinny in Melbourne on 131060. Vinny, what was in the food?
Mate, I was just enjoying a HSP one night and bloody found this piece of what would be a plastic bag, you know, like just a particle of it.
Oh, just a bit of plastic bag in your halal snack pack. That's...
Yeah, well, it wasn't so halal after that, was it?
Hey, Vinny's pretty happy with that one.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom. This is Dom's Google history.
Dom, you can learn so much by what someone searches on the internet. That's why each week we go through your Google searches. You don't know what I've discovered in your Google search history. Yep. You don't know what I'm going to read out. But you do have to explain... why you Googled what you Googled.
What do you got tonight?
Our first search was last Friday at 6:38 p.m. Do people still wear bow ties?
Okay. Well, I was watching a... I don't even know what the movie was. It was on TV. And it was a movie like where it had like a 1920s party scene.
Yeah.
And like a lot of the guys are wearing bow ties.
Yeah.
And I thought, when was the last time you saw a bow tie?
Like the last wedding I went to.
Oh, really? People wear bow ties to weddings, do
they? Some people do.
Okay. I feel like I haven't seen a bow tie, apart from on a clown,
for
a long time.
Yeah, but you don't really go to places where people are dressed up. Well, but you do go to the circus a lot.
Now, look, I guess you are right. I guess I wouldn't be in many contexts.
Are you going to get yourself a bow tie?
So well, I
was
know.
Hoping that was what it was about. I was hoping that you went out in a bow tie and you thought you were getting weird looks. I'm disappointed to hear that you're watching a movie, but well, will you purchase one?
I did look into them online after I Googled it. They are ridiculously expensive.
No, they're not.
How much do you reckon a bow tie should cost you? I was thinking,
it can range.
I thought $5 max for a bow tie.
Yeah.
A good quality one's going to set you back like $80.
You've never bought a tie before, have you?
They all expensive. I bought ties. No, ties are okay. You're getting a lot more fabric for your buck, man.
Right, okay. Is that how you measure it?
The bow tie is like barely anything. So I'm not happy paying that much for a small piece of fabric.
That's our new segment. Dom takes down the bow tie industry. He's a disruptor. The next search was also on Friday. Friday at 2:06 a.m. Why does hot water smell different to cold water? One of the big mysteries of the world. Water doesn't have a smell?
No. So, okay. If you pour a glass of water from the tap.
Yeah.
And if you're near a tap, go and do this now if you don't believe me.
And how often are you putting your nose down right next to it to get a big whiff?
But every now and then. You might do it. I don't know. I reckon if you pour a glass of cold water, no smell at all, right? But you pour hot water and it smells different. There's certainly a smell to it. Especially boiling water. I'm talking more boiling water.
Isn't it just the... evaporating steam going up your nostrils?
Is it? Is that what it is?
I'd imagine so.
I couldn't find anything.
You couldn't find anything. Okay.
No, but I didn't know how heating it could change its temperature.
So you don't know how heating something could change its temperature.
Could change its flavour, I meant to say. I didn't know how changing the temperature could change the flavour.
Yeah.
But are you saying it can't? Is that what you're suggesting?
There's a lot of balls in the air here. I'm suggesting that water doesn't have a smell. I do think heating things can definitely change how they smell.
Yeah, okay.
Cake batter smells different to a baking cake.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. Anyway, I was just curious because I had a shower. I had a late night shower and the hot water came out of the shower head.
And you're loving the smell.
I was like, this is a lovely smell. Why can't I get this every time I pour some water?
Yeah, thank you. Yep. The last search, Sunday at 2:23 a.m. Is it fun to work in the McDonald's drive-thru booth?
Yeah. Well, clearly I've just been through a McDonald's drive-thru.
You thought, and those guys look, it looks like a ride in there. How do I get in?
No. My thinking was this.
Can I, know. What was that? Sorry, go on.
Well, I was thinking, every time you go to a McDonald's, it looks hectic back there, right? There's people running around throwing burgers, well, not at each other, but it's like, it's a fast-paced production line, right? Mm. And then when you go past the drive-thru, it's like this serene little oasis where the person's got their own little booth, their own little corner. They could, you know, put some fragrances in there maybe. Mm. I don't know, maybe
get
play some music.
Get the hot water out.
Okay. No, but, you know, my point is you can make it your own special space. And I was like, if I had the choice, if I was a McDonald's employee and I had the choice, keep me in the drive-thru booth the whole time.
Okay, so you were searching that on the weekend in the morning at 2 a.m.
Yeah. Yep.
You could be anywhere. And you're looking at the McDonald's employees working in the booth and saying, I wish I was there.
I just
That looks more fun than what I'm doing.
I would just like to have a booth. That's all I'm saying. If I have to be somewhere, put me in a booth.
None of those employees, when they get put on the 2 a.m. shift on the weekend, they're not going, yay. They're going, I wish I was out with my friends.
Well, weirdly, the results I was finding, there was like a forum of McDonald's employees, and they all were saying that the booth is the worst place to work because you're stuck out the back, you're on your own, all these sorts of things. And I'm like, fine, if you whingers don't want it, pass it over to me.
We could ask if you want to. I'm sure there's some McDonald's employees listening.
Get me in the booth.
You could ask if it was fun. Do you want to do that?
Yeah, let's do that. All right, now let's do that now. 131060. For any McDonald's employees listening right now, maybe if you've worked in the booth currently or before, is the drive-thru booth the most fun place to work?
Is it as fun as Dom thinks it is?
Because it looks like so much fun. And I'm reckon it is. 131060. Is working in the drive-thru booth fun?
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Dom was asking Google one of the big questions that we've all thought before.
Yeah.
They couldn't answer it for him, so we're asking on 131060. Mm. Is it fun to work in the McDonald's drive-thru booth?
Well, I always think of all the positions you could work in a McDonald's store. The drive-thru booth, you get your own space. You often get a view when you're looking out maybe into some gardens or across the street.
Yeah.
I think of all the places to work in a McDonald's store, the drive-thru booth, that'd be the one you'd want, wouldn't
it? But you're not actually saying out of the available positions. You're saying against doing anything in the world.
Yeah.
Like if you have a choice to go to the movies or do drive-thru, you'd pick drive-thru.
Put me in drive-thru. You get to talk to the people coming through the whole time. It'd be great fun.
Geordie in Brisbane, what do you think?
For me, I would say it's the most stressful place to be.
Mm. Okay, so you have worked. Do you currently work at McDonald's?
I currently work at McDonald's,
Why is it stressful, Geordie?
Well, because some stores have, like, the two lanes.
Okay,
And depending on, like, the work, like, the flow of the cars and stuff like that, you have to kind of multitask in terms of trying to take one person's order and do a payment at the same time.
Yeah, that's true. Because sometimes when you hand your card over, Dom, you see them talking to the other cars.
I hadn't thought
there's
about
a lot on the go.
To be honest, I thought it looked like a nice place to sit. I hadn't thought through the work you'd have to do. I thought a nice place to sit and you're in proximity to a McDonald's kitchen.
Yeah.
This is ticking a lot of boxes. We have Chatice on the Gold Coast. What are your thoughts on this?
When you guys asked this question, I was going through the McDonald's drive-thru at the time.
Yeah.
And we know the guys who work there, so I asked them, what's it like working on the weekend at 2 o'clock in the morning in the drive-thru?
Mm.
And they admitted it's not that fun on weekends, especially around 2 o'clock, because you have to both man the drive-thru and pretty much do the nitty-gritty cleaning.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. All right.
You're going back and forth, Dom.
Yeah, well,
you got to cover a lot of stations at 2 a.m.
So, well, it was 2 a.m. when I asked Google this question on the weekend. That's why we're talking about that. But, yeah, I guess you'd have to do the all-rounder job, the cleaning as well.
I imagine also the chance of getting a hamburger thrown in your face goes up the earlier you get into the morning.
That's probably true. And we got Ainsley on 131060. Ainsley, you've just finished a shift in the drive-thru. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm a manager at McDonald's.
Okay, well, we can ask you a fresh question.
Yes,
did you have fun tonight?
No, I didn't.
There we go, Dom. That's conclusive evidence.
Well, why not, Ainsley? It looks like such a beautiful place to sit. As I mentioned, you get a nice view. What's wrong with the drive-through?
Well, when I was a crew member, the managers used to put the people that they don't particularly like in the booth.
Okay.
So it's more like a punishment than anything else.
Okay, there's thousands of McDonald's employees hearing this right now. Thinking, oh no, is that why I keep getting put in the booth?
Okay, so what have we learned here? I mean, it always looks like a lovely place to sit. It's a job I've probably envied since I was 14 and could start going for jobs. I always wanted to work in a McDonald's drive-thru.
Yeah.
I feel like in the past few minutes, that dream's been shattered a little bit, if I'm honest.
There's a lot going on inside those McDonald's. Well, I want to know more about it. It seems like there's a lot of political leanings in there. There's a lot of social to and fro.
And look, if you are heading to McDonald's for an overnight shift right now and you're heading into the drive-thru, I just deeply apologise.
Have a ball, though.
Yeah, have fun. I mean, have one for me. That's what I'd say.
Dom, we'll see you in about 20 minutes.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Day or nay?
Dom, every day is international this day, national that day. Mm. Some of them are so ridiculous, I don't think that you'd be able to pick the real ones from a fake one.
Yep.
So I have three in front of me for tomorrow, Friday, the 25th of May.
Yep.
Two of them are real days. These are things that actually exist.
Yep.
One of them is one I made up. You need to pick the one that's a fake.
This is so hard because last week, was it International Dirty Dishes? No, No Dirty Dishes Day.
No Dirty Dishes Day.
I thought it was fake. Turns out that's a real one. God, it's a hard game. It's
our
a hard
first
game.
One.
Yep.
May 25.
Mm.
Tap Dance Day.
Okay.
Celebrating tap dancing.
Is the idea that people will tap dance on Tap Dance Day or they'll just be aware of tap dancing?
It's just a tap dance celebration. If you feel compelled to tap dance, I think that would be welcome.
Right, okay. Well, I've not heard of Tap Dancing Day, but again, I haven't heard of most of these, so I guess that means nothing.
Number two, Breakfast for Dinner Day.
Oh, okay. This
celebrate
is
a by having breakfast
now,
for dinner.
Here's a day I can get on board with.
You like breakfast for dinner?
Oh, I like breakfast all times a day.
Yeah.
Breakfast is great.
What would you have breakfast for dinner?
I would get gluten-free toast.
Yeah.
Poached eggs.
Yep.
A lot of bacon.
Mm.
Two slices of halloumi
to
start with.
Okay. This sounds like an order you've had before.
I don't even need to look at the menu, thanks. I can make my order and then give me your best smoothie on the menu. There you go. There's my Saturday brunch.
Okay, well, you celebrate Breakfast for Dinner Day by having breakfast for dinner.
Yep.
Our last one, number three, Geek Pride Day.
Okay.
Celebrating geek pride.
Okay, I've always wondered what the definition between like a geek and a nerd and a dork is. What do you reckon? What defines a geek?
I think...
Is that like you're really into like comics? Or like you're really into a fandom?
You know, sweaters...
Yep.
Think like Big Bang Theory, the guys on that. I think they're geeky.
Yeah, okay, right.
And you'd wear a bow tie, maybe.
Am I a geek?
No.
I'm not a geek,
you got to be smart.
So that's a dork. Right, we've figured out the difference.
I don't know the definition.
Right. Okay, so we've got Breakfast for Dinner Day.
Tap Dancing Day.
Tap Dancing
or
Day.
Geek Pride.
Okay, and two of those are real.
Two are actual days occurring tomorrow.
Okay, well, I have to hope that Breakfast for Dinner Day is real, so I'm going to lock that in as a real one.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon Geek Pride Day has legs. I think that's real. I reckon International Tap Dancing Day made up.
Oh, you're going to look like such a fool when you see people tap dancing across the road tomorrow, Dom. Incorrect once again.
What?
Breakfast for Dinner Day was made up.
Are you kidding me? That's the one that's not real.
Well, we can start it if you want.
Can we start a day? Because that's got more. Get rid of the tap dancers and the geeks. I'm sorry. Yep. But that's a day that has a purpose.
I also have great news for you.
Mm.
You don't need a day to have breakfast for dinner. If that's something you really want to do, you can do that every night.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
I lied to an old man today, Zach. I need you to tell me whether or not I did the right thing. Because I did it because I thought telling him the truth would ruin his day.
Mm.
But I can't figure out if I made the right decision.
Generally speaking, you shouldn't make a habit of lying to the elderly.
No, I agree. You know what? That is a principle I have in my
life.
That's
something that pensioners have earned. They've earned cheaper prices on Thursdays and not to be lied to by people in their 20s.
Well, here's the story. You tell me what I did, whether I did the right or wrong thing here. So I had like a, you know, the e-tag, like the toll things that you stick to your windscreen.
Yeah.
Right, when you go through a toll point. I had like the old tag bit of that stuck to my windscreen that I needed to get off, but it was stuck on with the whatever the sticky adhesive they use is.
Mm.
Google told me best way to get rid of it was to get fishing line. And you could kind of get in behind it and scrape it off, right? So I had to go off for the first time in my life to a shop to buy some fishing line.
Hang on.
Yeah.
That's probably a good indicator to your family.
Yes.
You have quite a large family.
Mm.
No fishing line?
Oh, we've never been fishing. Why would we need fishing line?
Your whole family, your dad, your brothers.
Yeah. Why on earth would we need, what do you use fishing line for?
Catching fish.
Yeah, no, we've never been fishing. Why on earth? We don't go fishing. Do you know my family?
I thought everyone had been fishing.
Oh, no.
You've never been fishing.
Oh, I went once, but we rented everything on the boat when I was like six because of Dad's friend wanted to go fishing. No, we're not a fishing family. Good Lord, no.
You don't have to be a fishing family. I wasn't a fishing family.
Yeah.
I've been fishing multiple times.
Okay.
That's something that you swing into. I can't believe you've been on this planet for 24 years and you haven't been roped into a fishing trip at some time.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And I'm open to it. And one might have come out of what ensued from my purchase today.
So no fishing line in the house.
No fishing line in the house.
Unbelievable.
So I head off to a discount shop thinking I'll get some fishing line there, find what I'm after, and I'm heading up to the counter. And there's an old guy working behind the counter. And he, you know, the sort of person who you think has spent a lot of his life on the seas. Do you know what I mean? And I can see that from the way he looks at the fishing line.
Well, did he look weathered?
Yeah. And like a man who'd seen some stuff. Do you know what I mean?
And there's a whale out there that he's got a rivalry with.
Yeah, that's it. Something like that. Anyway, as I put the fishing line down, he says, "Oh, you got big weekend fishing plans." And I can see in that moment the joy that the idea of a fishing interaction has given this guy.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I tell him the truth and tell him, no, I'm actually just using this fishing line.
Never been fishing in my life.
Never been fishing, using this to get a tag off my windscreen. Hmm. I'll crush him. Right? And I don't want to crush him heading into the weekend. Hmm. No one deserves that. So I said to him, heading out on the boat on Saturday morning.
Yep, dropping a line in.
Well, I just
thought... Getting a line wet.
Harmless lie. Now, we end up chatting for about 10 minutes. He's telling me some of his great fishing stories.
I can imagine this, because you don't tell a lie and get out.
No.
You dig down.
I do. Well, he starts...
How big was your boat?
I said I'm heading out with a group of 11 of us to go deep sea fishing.
11?
And he told me that the $4.99 fishing wire I bought wouldn't work for deep sea fishing.
No, they use like a wire. Like, you know, it's like thick cable.
I said this is just, you know, in case we need some extra. I don't even know what I was saying really. But he starts asking me.
Yeah, he knew. He knew you were lying.
No, I don't think he did.
No one's going deep sea fishing and they're getting their supplies from a discount store. Okay.
Well, anyway, look, we start chatting. He says, "What am I hoping to catch?" And this puts me
on. Okay, there's no way in the world you answered this question in a way that he didn't know you were making it up.
Well, I don't know many fish.
So what'd you say?
I said mackerel. That's a real one, isn't it?
That's a fish.
I said, "I'm going to get mackerel."
Do you find those in the deep sea?
Mackerel and some prawns was what I said. Oh, jeez.
Why would you say this?
Well, I don't know. I'm in a conversation with this old fisherman. I'm trying to make his day and giving him some fishing chat. I'm in too deep in the lie at this stage. Apparently, I've been told when I told this story to my dad, who clearly knows a little more about fishing than me, that people don't go fishing for prawns quite like that. It's more of a net.
It's a net situation.
Net situation, right. Okay. Didn't know that earlier today. I've had a seafood buffet
once.
You're
holding up the fishing line you bought from a discount store and saying, is this good for prawns?
Yeah.
Will I catch a few on this?
Well, anyway, look, I thought the conversation didn't go too badly. At the end, he said, let me know if you ever want to go out on the boat. So I think I got a standing invite to go on his boat with him. So clearly, even with all the lies, he's still open-minded to taking me out for a bit of a fishing trip.
Yeah.
My question to you is, was that the right avenue to lie to him? Because I feel like if I'd said, no, this is my windscreen, I would have completely ruined his day. And instead, he got a great 10-minute fishing chat.
But did he, though? Because he was like, man, the fishing game's changed. What are the young kids doing these days? They're catching prawns on lines now?
That's okay.
I think there's a difference between saying, yeah, I'm going out for a good weekend fishing, and then staying there and getting 10 minutes deep into it.
Inventing the backstory.
Inventing the backstory. How long you've had the boat for, what's its name.
Okay.
You're thinking of selling it soon, but you don't know. It's putting a lot of financial pressure on your family. The wife that you made up is on your back about getting rid of it.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
This is Collective Noun's Out of Context News.
Making Out of Context News tonight, Harry Styles revealed how many more Star Wars movies he wants them to make.
I don't know. Maybe like at least 30. 30, yeah, maybe upwards.
Also, Kim Kardashian decided to join the dark side.
So I just thought it was fun to kind of get me out of my comfort zone, and it's so hard on your soul.
And Pauline Hanson fell for an email scam.
I actually got a message from a woman in Saudi Arabia who actually has congratulated me and said thank you.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Dom, you're not going to believe how much the teenager who plays Peppa Pig earns each week.
I'm Peppa Pig.
Harley Bird, just 16 years old. Yep. She's taking home $21,000 a week.
for this, for...
I'm Peppa Pig.
Also, that's... She's 16. That's a good voice, actually. Maybe she did.
Well, that one might be from 11 years ago when she started.
I haven't tuned into a later episode of Peppa Pig. Has Peppa Pig gone through puberty?
She's got piercings now. Joined a punk band. It works out that she gets paid $1,800 an hour for her voice recordings. At 16 years old, $1,800 an hour. Dom, when I was 16, I was getting $8.50, working the checkouts at Bilo.
Yeah.
Time and a half on Sundays. And that's... what I was happy with. I was satisfied with that. Oh. I should have been looking at this. $1,800 an hour.
I'm thinking, like, I could have done that. I could have done a cartoon animal's voice, right. I reckon.
You could have pulled off a pig, do you think?
Give me an animal. I mean, I'm not...
Peppa Pig.
Peppa Pig, all right. Hi, I'm Peppa Pig.
That was awful.
What do you mean that was awful?
Try to do the impression.
I'm not doing the impression. I can't do it. I'll give you a snore.
Well, hang on.
Yeah.
You just said... give me any to do, and the first one you say I can't do it.
Okay. Maybe it's harder than I thought. My point is that I'm just saying.
What a man of conviction. I'm just standing by his comments.
I just think that's people make their money in Bitcoin sometimes, maybe in the stock market. To make your fortune doing Peppa Pig is incredible.
They're saying that she's going to be a millionaire by the age of 21. So we're asking on 13, 10, 60. Yeah. How did you make money as a kid?
Well, because if we can put together a bit of a list, I guess, for people to pass on to their own kids, maybe. Because you never know when you're a kid. Maybe the old... do they still do newspaper routes, do you reckon? Do you reckon that's still going?
No.
Because newspapers are...
people could be throwing out iPads from their push bikes.
With a digital subscription. I know for me, Zach, the best thing I did to make money as a kid was I used to, when I was a bit younger, I'd put on shows in the lounge room for mum and dad.
Yeah.
And charge an admission price when they come in.
It was only the lounge room, but you still wouldn't sell out the venue. There was still empty seats in the house.
Well, it was just general admission. It was a variety show. So I'd do some magic tricks. Yep. I'd sing a song or two.
How much would you charge?
I think it was $8.50 for a concession and $10 for an adult. Only if I had adults. It was only for mum and dad.
And would they pay it?
Yeah, they paid. Yeah. I'd finish the night by dancing with a broom as my dance partner.
Okay.
Which was like a dance. It was a dance to finish the evening.
Yeah.
It was about a 2-hour show.
So yeah, they're getting their money's worth.
They're really getting their money's worth. It was a bit of a hit. I mean, I used to do some of the hits of ABBA that I knew from growing up.
What were the reviews like?
Oh, the reviews, I mean, they came back every week, Zach. This is the thing. They
kept it was a weekly show.
I did it for a few years.
Yeah.
And pretty regularly throughout that time. Now, I'm not sure if I went to mum and dad and said, hey, $10 if you want an encore performance today, if they'd still pay.
Would they debate the price? Would they try to haggle down?
No.
They were happy. They respected the arts.
That's it.
They knew they had to invest.
So once I did put an interval on and I just went and got drinks from the fridge and put them outside of the room and said, enjoy your interval.
And did you go backstage or did you mingle?
No.
Was there a meet and greet at the end? With the stars, you could meet Dom or the broom. Whichever you wanted.
What I should have done is charged more money for photographs. See, this is the entrepreneurial spirit I was missing as a kid. That's what I needed.
13, 10, 60. How did you make money as a kid? We have Jack in Sydney on 13, 10, 60. How did you make money as a kid, Jack?
How you going, boys?
Going well, Jack.
Yeah, my older brother, when I was at school, he used to have a big marble collection. So I used to go into his drawer and take his marbles and then flog them off at school for 50 cents a marble.
Okay. Did you have a sliding scale, Jack, where some of them more expensive than others?
Yeah, the little ones went for about 20 cents.
Yep.
And then he had a few godfathers, the big bonkers. Yep. And they used to go for a couple of dollars and they'd buy me my sunny boy at lunch.
Yeah, and Jack knew the market.
He
knew what he could get.
Just smart working there. Can I ask, Jack, did your brother catch on to what you were doing or did he was he never aware?
Yeah, so he was a keen marble player.
Yeah.
And when I took a few of his favourite ones, I got a flogging.
Yeah.
And my business came to an abrupt halt.
Yeah.
Okay. The business was closed. No more
I think the same
sales.
Thing happened to Blockbuster. And that's why they're no longer around. The big brother found out.
Ben, on 13, 10, 60, what did you do to make money as a kid, Ben?
G'day, mate. I used to do magic tricks just next to the cafe that all these tourists used to go to. And I would act really sad and take all the money out from my little magician's hat so people would feel sorry for me and they'd put in an extra $5.
Okay. How old were you at the time, Ben?
Oh, I would have been 7.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Well, can you give us some of the tricks you were doing? Do you remember any of them?
Oh, dude, I used to do heaps of card tricks.
Yep.
A few of the tricks I used to buy off the internet. I remember there was I had a show at an oval just around the corner from me, and there used to be a magician there, and I'd buy a few tricks from there. Dude, a little bit of everything it was.
A little bit of everything.
Heaps of, I made up a lot as well.
Yeah, okay. When you're making up your own tricks at seven, that's a sign of a great magician.
It sounds like that he was quite a good magician.
I mean, also, the great thing when you're seven as well is I reckon you get some money from the cuteness factor.
Yeah.
That doesn't work as much when you're in your 30s or 40s.
Do you remember when you tried to be a magician and that big trick you did? You know, when you made all the crowds disappear?
Dallas on 13 10 60. Dallas, how do you make money as a kid?
Hey, brother. I used to be a little bit of a nerd, like an introvert sort of kid. And I was the king of this game called RuneScape, man.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And I used to sell the gold, which was an in-game currency, for real-life money, man. And at the time, I was an upcoming budding DJ, and I bought $4,000 worth of Pioneer equipment out of RuneScape gold, brother.
All right. Well, you're making a connection here, Dallas, because we've been talking about RuneScape today.
Yes, RuneScape. The news came out today that they're closing down the original version of RuneScape.
So, Dallas, you mined gold on RuneScape, the online role-playing game. Is that correct?
I didn't mind the gold, man. I did some sneaky tactics to get some, but there's lots of different ways of getting it. Mm. And used to sell for $6 per mil. What? And I had hundreds of mils.
That's pretty good.
That's how Dallas spent his time on RuneScape, Dom. How did you spend the 140 hours that you spent on it?
Yeah. Well, this is what we were talking about beforehand. Yes, I... You used to be able to, there were many things you could do in the game. You could fight, you could, I guess, mine, things like that. One of the smaller skills was you could bake bread.
Dom was the town baker.
Me and my friends would always want to go on quests. And so all our characters would come together to go on a quest. And I'd rock up and I'd just have baked another loaf of bread. And they'd say, "You're not coming, Dom."
The computer told him he spent 140 hours playing, 138 hours baking bread.
Hey, people got to eat, Zach. People got to eat.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Dom, I love to see older generations.
Sorry. Do you want another go at this? Hang on, let's start again. Let's go completely from the start. Collective Noun Late Nights with Zach and Dom right around Australia.
I love to see older generations embracing the internet because they didn't grow up with it.
No, they didn't. You're right. It's something that's come into their life. You know, they're probably in their 30s, 40s, and they've just had to adapt.
Particularly when you think of YouTubers, you often think of young people.
Vloggers, yeah.
My wife has actually found an account bucking that trend.
Okay.
She put her back out a little bit. She hurt her back, and instead of going to the physio, she's like, maybe I'll be able to find some physio advice online before I go and save a bit of money.
Okay.
So she's looking on YouTube,
and
we discovered this account that was two physiotherapists, older guys, you know, full grey hair kind of situation.
Yep.
They have an account, they're vloggers, where they post a video every day.
Every day.
About physiotherapy. But the effort they've put into this channel, they have an opener, they have a slogan. Gosh. Have a listen.
Bob and Brad, the two most famous physical therapists on the internet.
Hi, folks. I'm Bob Schrupp, physical therapist.
Brad Heineck, physical therapist.
Together, we are the most famous physical therapists on the internet.
Well, in our opinion, of course.
Are you happy about that, Brad?
Okay, a number of questions. Is it that difficult to be the most famous physiotherapist on the internet? Is that a big subgenre of vloggers?
Yeah. How many subscribers? Do you know how many they have?
They had thousands of views.
Oh, well, they're going pretty well.
Well, I don't know how many subs, but yeah, they had a lot of views.
Yeah.
And then secondly, posting every day.
That's a good point.
Surely
you've run out.
Surely there's only so many stretches you can do.
Well, that's true. I mean, look, I know everyone's into various YouTubers, right? For me, when I go home at the end of a long day, though, forget all the ones you've ever heard of. For me, I chuck Bob and Brad on straight away. What have they got for me today? That is what I got time for on the show tonight. If you want to hear the full thing back, search for Collective Noun. Holy crap. Sorry, we're just hearing Bob and Brad have 650,000 subscribers.
They really are the most famous physiotherapists on the internet.
That is absurd. That is unbelievable. Good for Bob and Brad. They're putting us to shame. If you want to hear the full show, search for Collective Noun on iTunes. You can get the podcast there. We'll see you Monday at 10.
Bye. Oh, yeah.
That's all from Collective Noun. Grab podcasts and videos online on Facebook at Collective Noun Comedy.